We are HIIT Fitness and Boot Camp, Lansing's number one HIIT / boot camp studio with classes that motivate, encourage, and push you. We specialize in 30-minute weight loss boot camps that challenge the body and deliver results in a positive and supportive atmosphere.
Hey guys, thank you for tuning in for another episode of the HIIT Fitness Afterburn Podcast. This is Coach Nate for another great episode. Hope everyone's doing well. We got a couple changes here. I want to fill everybody in. We have a new co-host. Her name is Coach Chamber. She was a former guest on our show. What's up, Chamber?
Nothing much.
So happy to have you here in the studio as my co-host. It's going to be awesome.
Oh yeah, you know it.
Yeah, guys, Armand was a current co-host, but he had moved on to some other projects, and we filled the spot with wonderful Spice of Life Coach Chamber. No, it's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah, it's very spicy.
Hey, guys, we got a really good episode today, but it's going to be a little different move or style than we're used to. We like to really stay positive. But it's going to be a little bit different. We're bringing on a past guest, Coach Marlin. He has a very traumatic story that he wanted to tell and get off his chest. And I thought there'd be no better way than to do it on a podcast and kind of just tell his story for you, for everyone out there that doesn't know the story. Coach Marlin has lost his one of his youngest boys to a tragic event that cost him his life, and it's really impacted him and HIIT Fitness staff, myself, and the members and everybody in this community. And so we're going to be talking about that today and kind of dissecting what happened, how it's affected him, what he has done to move past it, and kind of stuff like that, and just kind of hearing the story, guys. So I know a lot of you guys, obviously the ones that come to here that are members and maybe staff members, maybe have questions or don't know what happened and just kind of heard the news. And this is his time to kind of like open his heart and kind of explain the story. And I really commend you, Coach Marlin, man, for coming on here and doing this. But foremost, how you doing today, man?
I'm feeling pretty good today. You know, it's always good to be around good people, you know.
Yeah.
Chamber.
Yeah.
Like a little brother and little sister. So, you know.
Yeah.
Good vibes. For
those of you that listen to our previous podcast, Coach Marlin's been with me the longest. We've put a few years in together. He's been an outstanding trainer here. Everybody loves him, including myself. Even when he gets on my nerves, I still love him. And but yeah, he's definitely been a positive person in my life, and I think many others feel the same. I want to dive into this. I guess kind of just so. How old was your son? Well, first of all, what's your son's name?
My son's name is Marshawn Malcolm Martin Beard.
Okay, Marshawn. And his nickname was Man-Man, right?
Man-Man.
Yeah, I know, because you know, I went to the service, and a lot of people were referring to him as Man-Man. So
Man-Man, my baby boy.
Just to kind of open up and just kind of dive right into it, he was shot, right?
Yes, Man-Man is a victim of gun violence.
Okay.
That's really plaguing our community in the Lansing area. Over these last couple years, it's gotten really, really out of control.
Yeah. Yeah, gun violence is definitely something that's very tragic, and guns are misused every day. So it's horrible. What about what was the scenario of the whole thing? Like, how did it go down? And I mean, as much details as you feel comfortable with telling, of course.
Well, as far as details, I really don't have the details. What I do know is that he was out with friends. They were downtown by the river. They have put together a little area where people can go down there, and it's almost like a beach area.
Yeah.
Sand down there.
Rotary Park, right?
Rotary Park. That's where
it is. Yeah. That's right where the is that where they do like the canoe rentals and the kayaks and stuff?
Yeah, right next to it.
Yeah. Right next to it, yeah.
I've done those a few times. And they have that little like marketplace like grill or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Down okay. there, right down there where that's at.
So he's hanging out with some friends.
Yeah, he went down there and I guess they had a bonfire earlier that day, and that's where they chose, the teenagers chose to have the after party from the bonfire.
Right.
So it's just a lot of kids were down there hanging out.
Yeah.
And
doing normal kid stuff.
Yeah, just being kids.
He was 16, right?
16 years old. He really doesn't hang out. So this was a step out of his norm for him to even be at an event where, you know, there's a lot of teenagers around, because being the fact that the pandemic hit, you know, he was fairly young when the pandemic hit.
Sure.
So he hadn't really been hanging out on his own, where we as his parents or somebody, a parent of another kid, don't take you and pick you up. So this is all new for him to be able to go somewhere with his friends and just ride with friends and go somewhere. So this was all new, because we're just starting to move around, like, you know, and interact more since the pandemic. So this was really basically like one of the first times he was able to really go to an event that was unsupervised by any kind of parent. You know, we used to drop him off places and pick him up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so it's really like, it's not even common for him to be, you know, this is like one of the first times him doing that.
So,
and this happens to him.
So when he was hanging out, from my understanding, he was hanging out with some friends, and then some other people started shooting.
Yeah, well, one of his friends had an altercation with another guy, and they got, I guess they were talking about discussing fighting. This is just what, you know, what I was told. They were discussing fighting, and the guy pulled a gun out. And
so they were gonna, they got into a little like verbal altercation.
Yeah.
And then they were like, you know, you want to go, bro? Yeah, let's fight, you know?
You know.
And then another guy was like, boom, pulled a gun out.
Mm. So.
And then he just like started shooting immediately.
Yeah, I guess, yes, about four people got shot.
And
about four people got shot, besides my son and the other guy who got killed. I think three more people got shot that were just injured. So two people were murdered that day, and three people injured.
The guy that originally pulled the gun got shot as well?
No, he didn't get shot.
Oh, he didn't get shot?
No, I don't think so.
And but so the bullets weren't even intended for Man-Man?
I couldn't tell you.
No,
I have no idea. I don't know what the individual's intent was.
You weren't there.
Could have been to kill everybody.
Could have been to kill everybody.
I mean? Yeah,
it could have been straight
shot
bullets.
Shot a lot of people. So he could have, you know, had to.
Could have just tried to kill everybody.
Could have been trying to kill everybody.
Wow. And then what was he? Was he like? Where was he shot at?
My son was shot in his like right below his chest.
Like, okay.
And yeah.
Did he like die on the scene, or
he was taken to the hospital.
To the hospital, to Sparrow Hospital.
Sparrow Hospital.
Yeah. Wow. And I'm guessing that's probably when you got the call.
Yeah, I got the call probably about 1 a.m. a little bit after. My daughter called me, and she was hysterical. So So I knew as soon as I answered the phone, I was just dozing off to go to sleep. Yeah. And as soon as I heard her voice and how hysterical she was, I knew something very terrible had happened.
Wow.
And I just immediately started trying to calm her down so I could understand what she was saying.
Right.
And that was the last words I was ever expecting to hear. It's when she said, somebody shot Marshawn.
Wow. I'm guessing that's when your heart sank to your stomach and was like, this can't be true.
Yeah, at that point it was anger. Mm. It was, first of all, as a parent, your one of your main jobs is to protect your children. So till you hear someone shot your child is that's the height of your protective nature.
Right.
Immediately.
Right.
That's what you feel. Is that,
And he's your youngest son too,
my
right?
My youngest son.
Yeah, so he's your baby. And
baby boy.
He looked just like you.
Yeah.
I mean,
everybody say that's my twin.
Yeah. I mean, when I seen the especially when I seen the little pamphlet that they were giving out at the service, it was awesome. They had some really good pictures in there, and I was like, man, is that Marlon's childhood picture? for real. He looked just like you. So you got the call, and then I'm assuming you just immediately drove to Sparrow, right?
My daughter was almost to me when she was calling me. So okay. She pulled right up, and I jumped in the car with her, and we went to Sparrow.
Wow. And at this time, you knew that he wasn't dead yet, but you knew that he was
shot. I just knew he was shot. That's it.
Okay.
And they wouldn't tell me anything when I got to the hospital.
Oh, wow.
They wouldn't tell me anything, give me any information.
So you ran in the hospital and you
were
like...
They wouldn't even let us in. Oh, you were outside the hospital for like 3 hours.
They wouldn't let you in.
Wouldn't let anybody in. It was something like a scene out of a movie where you got... three or four families, people, and even friends that were outside the hospital worried about their loved ones and not receiving any information. And police had formed a line where they would not let anybody in the hospital. Well, they wouldn't let any of us in the hospital. But if you come to the hospital and you had a broken arm or leg, they let you right by. But my minor child is in the hospital and you're giving them medical attention and I'm right here and you won't even tell me, let alone you're not even asking me for my consent to do whatever,
right?
What he's allergic to, what anything. This is a minor.
Right.
Now some of these kids were older, so I assume they can administer medical attention to an adult, of course. But
pain medication, whatever.
Yeah. But my child, 16.
Right.
I know that there are laws in place that state that they can do emergency. They can do administer emergency medical attention.
Life threatening.
Exactly. To preserve life or, you know what I mean? And without any kind of consent.
If they don't, which if that they make, don't
which
have
makes
time.
Sense. If the people are not there. If I'm not present, but if I'm available.
Yeah, you were right there.
I'm right there.
Wow. Yeah.
I should have been escorted in there to be able to hold my child's hand. And
to be the father, yeah.
Yeah, and the mother. She was there too.
Man.
We were, everybody, our entire family was there within minutes.
Yeah. It's, man, before we go any further, I'm so sorry you went through that, dude. That is somebody's worst nightmare.
It's the worst nightmare. It's the worst nightmare for anyone. It's the worst nightmare for a parent. But it's the nightmare that you wake up to every day.
Right.
Yeah.
Sleeping is the good part. If you get any, you wake up to the nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah.
The reality every day.
You wish you could just sleep it off. Would any part of you feel like, you know, like, and I ask you this because this is, and I'm not a violent person, but if someone would tell me, hey, if somebody shot your son, what would you do? And my first is like, I want to shoot him. You know what I mean? And I'm not a violent person, but if you ask any father out there, they want, you know, if you hurt, someone kills my mom or something, I would want to, you know,
revenge,
but and that's not the right thing to do. But that, I feel like that's a lot of people's first instinct is revenge.
Absolutely.
And if you say it's not, then you're basically lying to yourself, because the first instinct is like, I want revenge, until you can finally go through your thoughts and say, okay, no, this is not my fight no more. You know, this is, you know, whatever you believe in's fight, you know, whether it be
absolutely
God or anybody else.
You just said it. That's exactly what it is. This is, matter of fact, you said you were at the service. It's a song, the lady song, and it's, the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. And basically that's what you got to come to keep your emotions in check, is that you really can't win. Nobody wins in the situation.
There is no winning.
Go kill somebody, you still don't win, because I got other kids out here. So then, what if I'm not as lucky as whoever shot my son? What if I'm not as lucky as them?
Yeah.
Because everybody's, first of all, when you, it's like almost like in the NBA when they say, or NFL, any sport, when it's a foul call, or when the two players are going at it doing some stuff, it's usually the second guy that gets the call, because the tension has been brought to them. By the time the ref sees it, it's usually the retaliator,
yeah,
that gets caught.
Yeah,
the person who did the first thing that
mm-hmm.
who created the problem, they weren't seen.
No, it's always the retaliator.
It's the retaliator. So because now the tension's on you, right?
Yeah.
Once they start jawing at
now
each other,
now they're paying attention.
Now they're paying attention. So you can't win.
And usually there's retaliation is like out of emotion. So it's not.
It's not calculated.
Yeah, it's not calculated. It's not thought through.
No, it's not.
Was that revenge ever?
It's the first thought.
A moment? Yeah.
That was the first thought. Like I said, the first thought was anger.
Yeah.
Well, the first initial thought.
Sure.
When I heard the words, someone shot Marshawn, that the first thought was rage.
Rage. Yeah.
Now, that's not my first thought when a police officer looked me in my eyes and told me my son didn't make it, which was hours later. At that point, there was nothing. There was nothing inside me. I didn't have any fight in me right then.
Mm-hmm.
There was just emptiness. And that's only, you can only imagine if you've been through it. Like, I've never imagined that feeling. I've never imagined that to hear those words or to feel the pain that I felt when I heard them. It was something unimaginable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It still is.
So how long after you got to the hospital did a doctor or somebody come out and talk to you?
Doctor never came and talked to me.
A nurse or never. Any sort of staff?
Nope. I spoke with the police. They were the go between, and they couldn't give us any information. And finally, once they were ready, I guess, to tell us, or I guess after he died and there was nothing else they could do, they came and got me and his mom. We were the first people that they spoke to out of everybody that was out there. And I'm thinking there, because we were already negotiating with police officers and telling them our child is in there and he's a minor. You know what I mean? So you really need to let us in there. So we thought when we were taken to the hospital that we were going back there to be with our son who was injured.
Wow.
At this point, that's all we're thinking,
right?
So when we go through everything we had to go through to get in there and go through metal detectors and all that, and they were leading us back, they led us back. But when they led us into the room, I noticed it was a lounge. It wasn't a hospital room. I'm looking around, and it started to dawn on me what they were about to do, because I've been in situations like that when this was a friend or somebody else that I've known, and I know that this is kind of the way they do that.
Right. These
they try
the
to
procedure.
Break it to you gently.
Right.
And they take you to somewhere like that, because if they're taking you to your child, then they're taking us into a room.
Right.
Where he is. You know what I mean? So once we got into the room, they sat us down and started telling us the story from their perspective. Well, we got a call about such and such time at
who's telling you this?
Police. That several individuals had been shot, and then he said that one individual was dead on arrival. And I said, "You trying to tell me that, Maz?" He said, "No, not their son." So at that point, I'm relieved.
He's alive, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
I don't even understand why he would put that fire out.
Exactly.
Like, or even try to tell the story, like the way he was telling.
Like it's redemptive.
Yeah.
Right. Like, he's like, "No, I'm not talking about your son,
but
your
at
son."
At the end of it,
right?
At the end of him telling us what happened.
So what else did he say
when he was dead on arrival? The others were rushed here, and your son was one of them. And he got shot, right? Told me where he got shot and all of that. And then he was like, the hospital, they worked on him. They tried, they did this, they did whatever they did. And he was like, and he didn't make it.
Wow.
And
that was.
When he said those words, man, that's when the nightmare began.
Yeah. I don't even know what my reaction would be, if it would be, you know, crying, or if it would be denial, or if it would be anger, or I don't even know.
I screamed from a place inside me that I didn't even know was there. It was just horrifying, just like for your entire life to be changed just like that forever.
Yeah.
Your entire life.
It's crazy.
The entire family. We are all changed forever.
Yeah, never be the same.
Nothing will ever be the same in my family.
Does that change how you approach family now?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm more protective.
Yeah.
I'm more expressive. You know, you just have to be, you have to use this as an opportunity to become closer.
Mm. Be present.
Yeah, to become closer with your family. And to not miss out on opportunities.
That's good.
Every time you speak with someone in your family, it's an opportunity to love on them. Every conversation is important.
Opportunity, yeah.
Every conversation is important. Every interaction is important. Every hug is important.
So what are some ways that you're moving forward with your family that's different than before?
Well, we're just 38 days in, Shamber, so it's like we're trying to find a new normal.
Yeah.
Right now, everybody's broken. Everybody's just trying to make it through each day.
And what are the ages of your other kids?
I have a 29-year-old son. I have a 25-year-old son. I have a 24-year-old daughter. I have a 21-year-old daughter. I have a 20-year-old daughter.
Oh my goodness.
I have a 19-year-old daughter. And I have, I'm trying to think of everybody's age. I have a 4-year-old daughter.
Okay.
And 23-year-old son.
Oh my word. Wait, so I lost count. How many people is
It was nine of them all together. All
right.
Including Man Man.
You're halfway to my family. I'm one of 18. So.
Wow. Including Man Man. Yeah.
Wow.
And Genesis is the baby.
I love that. Genesis is a sweet name. So for other people listening who maybe have gone through something similar, what advice would you give?
I'm actually learning from them right now. I'm learning from all the people that have gone before me that have been inducted in against their will, like me, into this exclusive club that we really don't even want to be a part of. But you know,
yeah, you said life. You were going to groups and stuff, right?
No, I haven't gone yet.
Oh, you haven't gone yet.
I have met with some of the people that have been through the same tragic or going through it, because you never stop going through it.
But so, yours is a little different because yours is so recent.
Exactly.
You can't
some
really
of them are recent too. I have and I thought I told you about this. I have a cousin on one side of the family lost her son less than a year ago to gun violence, and another
in Lansing,
and another cousin that lost her daughter to gun violence less than a year ago on the other side of my family.
Yeah.
So my families have been hit by this.
Yeah.
But now it's that much closer to me.
Oh, very close.
But I mean, it's now I know exactly what they were going through, what they're going through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This happened last year. You remember when I told you that my cousins were murdered?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's and you really don't understand what the person goes through until you do it yourself.
Because you can never walk in these shoes from another perspective.
Yeah, even myself, like, I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. That must be horrible. But at the end of the day, like, I have no idea. You know, I have no idea.
Like, just coming in here to work, Nate, it's effort now. This was just routine for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This was just get up, go to work, man, you know.
Right.
Now it's effort.
It's effort.
It's effort to even just get up and do structural activities. Some days you don't even want to get out of bed. Some days it's hard to just do that. You don't even want to face the day.
Wow.
It's like another day of this.
Yeah.
Another day of this nightmare, this tragedy. You know what I mean? More tears, more sadness, more, you know what I mean? It's like everywhere you look, that's what you see. It's always reminders. Ride down the street. Oh, we used to go there. Oh, we used to do this. Oh, yeah, I remember, you know, just, yeah. It's just a those constant reminders in life. Each person that was close to him or that he loved or that, you know what I mean? That meant a lot to him. So you see these people, and you're like, man, this was my son. This was my son's girlfriend, or this was my son's best friend, or this was his favorite. I won't say family members because that, you know, everybody was the favorite.
Right.
But there's some people that he's closer to.
Right.
And when you see them, you see him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure I do that for people. When they see me, they see him because he looks so much like me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, man, it's difficult.
What about what would you think what's the hardest thing that you have noticed for yourself? Like, is it maybe it's something that you see, or maybe it's like being at your house because you were there with him, or maybe like riding in your car, or like going to the football field because he was a football player, right? So maybe like watching football, or like,
haven't had to do it yet.
Is there anything that you have noticed that is like, I just don't want to do this anymore because it just brings back too many memories and it's just too hard?
It's so soon, man. I really it's so many things. So I just really don't, I don't know. I don't know if I'll be able to go watch Everett play. And yeah. I went to Everett myself.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'll be able to go watch the kids play. But what you asked me, the most difficult thing is to see fathers with their sons about that age.
That's
one week after he died was Father's Day.
Yeah, that, I remember that. That was crazy. I was like, oh my God, it's the worst time. But that's another thing we didn't touch on was Marshawn, man, he was a, he as far as I understand, he was a really good, like, natural talent football player, right?
Yes.
Like, he had a lot of potential.
He did.
And he played for Everett, right?
Yep.
And he was a running back, but you told me he kind of played everything because usually when you're, like, in high school and you're a good player, like, one of the best players on a team, and it was like this for my high school team, they'll have you play, like, every position, you know, because you're just so, like, you know, athletic and talented where it's like you can play cornerback, you can play wide receiver, you can play running back, you can play
absolutely
tight end, you can play defensive back, you can play, you know, whatever. So, yeah,
that high school star.
Yeah, that's how
he was, man. He played all over the field, and he was a coach's player too. So
very coachable.
So all the coaches loved him because they could ask him to do anything, and he's not gonna have an attitude or an ego. Like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm a skilled player, so I can't fill in for this. For this guy right here that's not eligible this week, but he would move and play whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they might have three running backs, so they might say, "Man, we need you at linebacker this week because so and so's hurt or he's not eligible or whatever." He's gonna play whatever,
right?
With no problem without being, you know, egotistical about it or combative.
Right.
With
humility.
The coach. He's just very humble. He was the most humble out of all my children. He was the most humble. Never, ever gave me any problems when it came to, like, he's never, ever talked back.
Yeah.
He's never, ever, you know, been the kind of kid that didn't appreciate something.
Yeah.
And whatever if he asked you for $100 and you gave him $20, he was going to be just as grateful for that $20 as he would have been if you gave him the $100 he asked for. And that's rare in these kids these days.
Oh, yeah.
Because they all feel entitled.
Oh, yes.
You know, he worked hard, too. He would work hard to obtain whatever that he wanted. He didn't mind working.
Right. He had a good heart, too. I a lot of people kind of talked about at the service how genuine and how nice he was and how he would, like, listen if you needed somebody to talk to. And, like, a lot of his sisters were... you know, going on and on about just the qualities of him. And that was really nice to hear, you know, that he was. And they also said what really kind of touched me was that he was going down, not the wrong path, but he was, like, hanging around people he shouldn't hang around with. And they were like, you know, Marshawn, his heart, his soul, his mindset, like, he was a genuinely, like, nice, loving person. And like, the situation, like, the whole, you know, bad group of friends, or and I'm not saying he had bad friends, but, like, guns and just in that whole scene, like, that wasn't him.
No, that wasn't him.
That wasn't him.
He was an athlete. He really like these guys, and it's really so terrible. But all these guys are the same guys that played football together.
Yeah.
All of these guys that got shot, these guys doing the shooting, these guys, all these guys, he knows them all the same way. They all played football together, but a lot of them stopped after Little League, and now they're just in the streets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He's still playing football. He's still that guy. But this is how he met all his friends. He met all his friends through sports.
Yeah.
They've been knowing each other since they were kids, since they were 5, 6 years old when they first hit the field. And it's a shame that these same kids that played together and you know, you form bonds with these people when you're young, and y'all play sports together. Yeah, you guys are like brothers. But these kids grow up and I don't know what's going on that they can let whatever get between them where they hate each other enough to shoot each other. Same kids that you used to go out there and play and have fun with.
And this younger generation, I've told many people, it's like it's crazy in the inner cities and stuff. It's and even in not even just the inner cities, but it's, you hear about it a lot in the inner cities. It's like they don't know how to have a fist fight anymore.
Nah.
And I'm not promoting fist fighting, but it's like when I was a kid, when there was like a problem or beef in school, like it was always like, we'll meet you at the monkey bars after school, you know? And it's like, we're gonna fight, you know? And all the kids would gather around, fight, 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 you know? That's what it was. That's seriously true, man. And then
you be over after
then
that.
you get suspended for a week, and you go home, and you get grounded by your parents, and then
friends a week later.
In a couple weeks you're back in school and you're good, you know? And yeah. You know it, but nowadays it's like, oh, you crossed me? All right, I'm gonna go get my gun. It's like, what? When did kids start picking guns up?
From what I'm told, these kids, it all started over a fight at school a couple years ago when people actually still went to school.
What was the whole argument over?
That was just a fight at school between some guys that started all of. Not my son, but just
probably talking trash.
Whatever this altercation was
yeah.
that took place, it all started over a regular fight at school, like we're talking about.
Right.
Because nowadays, like you said, there isn't, it's never over. It's yeah. like, man, we fought. Now we're at war.
Yeah, now we're at war and it's going to go to the next level, which, I mean, I don't know. My dad, my grandpa always taught me, you know. You basically fight the guy and then it's done, you know, it's over with. And I didn't get into many fights in my life. But thankfully, cause I was always wrapped up in sports. I grew up playing football and hockey my whole life. And you know, when you're in organized sports, you don't live the street like life or, you know, staying out late because, you know, your parents and your coaches, you know, you're in a structured schedule, you know, you go to sleep early, you're eating, you know, all your meals, you're at practice after school, you know, and when I was playing hockey, like we used to practice all year round. We'd have summer camp, we'd have spring league, fall league, fall winter league. We would study together. We would, you know, it was really structured. And that's really kind of what saved me from, you know, I just never had my, I mean, I got into a couple of fights on the ice, but that's what hockey players do.
Yeah, that's exactly what they do.
You know, so I had more fights on the ice than I did, you know, in real life, you know. But yeah, it's wild. I witnessed a lot of, you know, fights, you know, just going to school and stuff. But
when I was young, we used to fight all the time. We did. We fought all the time. But like you said, these same people, like you slapping five with them a couple weeks
exactly.
later. Or,
yeah, man, it's always shake his hand.
You didn't like, you didn't feel like I got to go kill him.
Even if you lose the fight, it's like take the L.
You know?
I think a big part of it is the influence of like our culture and media.
Music.
So like music.
Music.
I feel
social
like
media.
Even in the past 10
social
years,
media.
Social media, you have movies, you have video games. They have gotten more graphic. They've gotten
video
more
games.
Crude, violent. And so these kids are consuming this
consuming.
All the time. And so I like, just, oh, well, that was even on the music. He said to just go shoot him up. So yeah, it's glamorized. And
it
so
is.
Like, I think we, a little bit, kids of this generation are like a little desensitized. It's like, oh,
no,
that's
it's
the
not
thing
a little
to do.
Bit. Chamber, it's a lot.
Well, yeah, yeah.
It's a
lot of
it. Because
it's pressure
think,
too.
You got to think.
Pressure, yeah.
You just hit on all of the things, but you mix them all together, and it's a recipe for disaster. You're listening to music. Music. What are they talking about? Shoot them. Shoot them. Shoot this. Shoot
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Shoot them ends. Do all this.
Yep.
Okay. Then you got the
video
games. The
sensual side, and then you have.
Then you got the video games. The video games. Yep. What?
Nothing but killing.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
it. Call of Duty. What's the other one?
Halo.
All of that. Then you got GTA.
Yeah.
Nothing but breaking the law.
Nothing
do whatever
but,
you want.
What is it? What is it? What's it called when you take someone out the seat and you steal their car?
Yeah, carjacking.
Carjacking. Yeah,
oh,
carjacking.
Crazy.
Jumping the car.
Nothing but carjacking and killing people.
Riding around shooting,
crazy.
Shooting people. Then you got the music. You got the video games, and then you got the movies.
Yeah. And I guess who are all these people?
And then social media.
They're big influencers. Yeah. They're big role models. Like, you know, these singers, these celebrities, these are people that
they idolize.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's the pressure too. It's like, cause when you lose a fight, you mentally might be done with it, but then you got your friends or you got all these in your ear, you know, oh man, you're just going to let them get down on you like that. You're just going to let them whoop you. And then that kind of pushes
where social media comes in at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because
people make fun of them.
People
ain't going to do nothing.
Yep. Everybody has this public forum.
Exactly.
That they can say stuff that can be humiliating to you. Yeah. And I always told my kids, the worst thing you can ever do is humiliate someone. A person will let you get away with a lot in life. Not everybody, but humiliation is not really one of them. That's like the worst thing to people, is to feel humiliated. You'll turn someone who's harmless into a violent person by humiliating.
Yeah,
it's true.
And people use social media to humiliate others.
Yeah.
Yep, they sure do.
There's so much negativity on social media. It's ridiculous. And that's why I use that platform as a business platform and really nothing else these days. But I, we have to do something to really change this world, and I just really hope it can get, you know, back to way it used to be, and we stop losing great people in this world to gun violence. It's really a tragic thing. But well, Marlon, if you want to leave everybody with a real quick last words, man, and then we're gonna wrap this up. I truly, truly appreciate you coming on here and telling your story. And kind of just putting it out there. I know it was difficult and it definitely wasn't easy, but I hope, you know, this could have been, you know, therapeutic or anything, but just kind of opening up and telling your story. But yeah.
Well, if I have anything that I have in these 38 days that I have really benefited from this tragic event, is that I have learned that you really have to lean on God and not to your own understanding. Because if it was left to me on my own understanding and my own strength right now, I probably would either be one, dead, two, in jail, or three, somewhere in some kind of mental facility. Seriously.
I can understand that.
I don't see any way
in your outcome
my own power could keep me moving right now and functioning at even the capacity that I'm functioning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know I'm not functioning at 100%. I'm probably not even functioning at 50, but I'm functioning.
No, you're doing a great job. That, and I know you took some time off, but when you came back, I kind of like, just in my head, I never really voiced it, but I was like, yeah, he's not, you know, I kind of expected a lot less, you know, like, all right, he's gonna need some more time. And you know, but when I seen you snap back and I seen like the real Marlon come out, and I was like, wow, man, he's doing really good, you know, like you're definitely a strong individual.
Which is why your story, I think, is already a huge testimony. It's empowering for other people. And I hope, you know, everybody who listens to this takes away just little aspects of some gold nuggets you've given us today, because it is powerful. And like you said, you wouldn't be where you are today without God. And I think that's just remarkable. And that's super uplifting.
And I want to take this time. I want to thank you both. I want to thank you for your support, prayers, everything. I want to thank my HIT family. The HIT family has been amazing. I want to thank my church, my real family. I want to thank Bliss Hair Salon next door, our neighbors.
Yeah, Dallas. She was super.
Everybody's been so supportive, man.
She was super supportive.
You know, like, and I consider them HIT family.
Yeah.
When I say HIT family, Bliss, y'all, you know, y'all,
everybody on this trip,
y'all fall under that. You know what I mean? Y'all are definitely HIT family.
Yeah.
And, But everybody, that all the members, everybody. You guys have all been amazing. And let's just continue to keep on being family, operating like that, loving on each other, supporting each other, and just keep me in prayer and just keep me encouraged, man, because this is a tough battle. This is uphill. You know what I mean? Like Nate was saying, that he saw me snap back. What he's seeing is me flip the switch when I come in here and get into to hit mode. Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I'm on autopilot when I'm doing that.
Right.
What's going on inside is completely different than what you see.
Yeah.
On the outside.
The only thing that's going to help is time.
Yep. And God.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But I thank you for this opportunity, man. And everybody, just remember that name, Marshawn Beard Matters. Marshawn Beard, life matters. And he was an amazing person, and I'm going to make sure that name stays alive.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. I got the pamphlet still sitting on the front counter. So if any of the members want to look at it, it's in the front counter. Right by the sanitation station, and you guys can look at all the pictures.
Absolutely.
But anyways, guys, once again, thank you so much, Marlon. Thank you so much, Coach Chamber, for being my co-host from here on out. And I really appreciate all the listeners. Continue to listen. Continue to download these episodes. We're going to be keeping you guys with new episodes every week. And we just appreciate all the support and love. And we're gone till next time, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to Hit Fitness, The Afterburn. Be sure to subscribe to all of our socials and don't hesitate to reach out to have you and your brand featured on our show.